I went on and delivered my discourse. I was quite satisfied with it. And George said, "Preacher, there's just one problem." I said, "What?" He said, "You said Adam accepted Eve as a gift from God, perfect. She ain't perfect." I said, "Oh, I hadn't thought of that. And I think I uttered a one-word prayer like, help." Because, you know, I faced a perfectly good principle going down the drain on a technicality. And I said, "There's bound to be an answer to that." And it came just like that. I said, "In whose eyes is she not perfect?" Well, I said, "Through mine." I said, "Did it ever occur to you that you may be looking through the wrong eyes?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I'll answer that when you answer another question." I said, "When Jesus died for us, he had something in mind, didn't he?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Do you know what that something was?" He said, "Well, I'm not sure." I said, "Let me ask you, did he achieve it?" He said, "Oh, yes, he achieved it." I said, "Let me tell you what it was. He died that we might be holy and without blame before him in love. And every person born again is destined one day to be just exactly like Jesus. And when God looks through his eyes, his faith in his own processes, knowing what he knows, living in the eternal now, he sees her as she's going to be and accepts her like that. And you know how he sees her? He sees her as foreknown, Romans 8, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. Now, isn't it amazing, George, that you've been living with a foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, glorified woman for 22 years and have griped about it almost every day?" He said, "You don't say." I said, "That's right." God moved in, and we slipped over to the altar, and they took hands, and I helped them with a new set of wedding vows that went something like this. I said to her, "Do you take this man who holds your hand to be your husband? Do you receive him as a gift from God and so liberate him to be all to you that a man was made to be to a woman? Do you so give yourself to him that you may become to him all that a woman was made to be to a man?" She said, "I do." And I said to him, "Do you take this woman who holds your hand to be your wife? Receive her as a gift from God, perfect and perfecting in her influence on you, thereby releasing her to be all to you she was made to be, and so give yourself to her that you can be to her all that you were made to be to her?" He said, "I do." Well, they went on their way. They haven't had a perfect marriage. In fact, they've had some counseling since. But since that time, I've discovered that this is a principle as universal as life. And this is the principle. Rejection breeds bondage, brings restraint, causes confusion, makes division, locks up potential. Reception releases, settles confusion, breaks down barriers. Reception releases. Bondage comes from rejection. And I began to think about our own marriage. How that after 17 years, our marriage came to a deadlock in communication one night. And we learned that principle without it ever being stated. That somehow, if we were going to continue with any semblance of union, with any reflection of the glory of God, we were going to have to become one in spirit. Oh, now we knew we ought to be one. We just hadn't decided in 17 years which one. It was first this one and then that one. But something happened that night. We were to never get over it. I guess we learned to give it a term later. We accepted each other. we received each other. Now, whether you're aware of it or not, that statement in 23 and 24 of Genesis 2 is freighted with love. And yet the word love is not there. For this is what love says. Love says, this is it. This is what I need.